Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Can We Talk Fridays. I am your host, Raz Williams. Happy New Year to you all. And again, welcome back to another special live edition of Can We Talk Radio, the very first for 2014. For those that are new, I'm your host, Raz Williams, bringing you Can We Talk every Friday from 8 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I want to give a shout-out to all our listeners for putting us in our first 8 months in existence, and I want to say that we have some big things cooking in the horizon this year for 2014. We're looking at the possibility of launching our very own radio, internet radio station, not just a radio show, but actually a live radio station. And we're looking at also doing some live YouTube video footage, broadcasts, and much, much more. So, guys, keep tuning in, and we'll definitely keep you guys posted on what's going on. In today's society, many women have achieved financial, educational, and career success, but the Word of God teaches us that it takes much more than these accomplishments to be considered truly a godly woman. Guys, please tune in tonight. We're going to take our time and really discuss what the Bible has to say about what you can do to become a Proverbs 31 woman and what you should not do if you want to be seen as such a woman. The Bible in no way neglects the importance and the influence of women and the invaluable contributions they have made, yet the Bible portrays a distinct difference between the godly woman and the worldly woman. In particular, godly women have played an essential role in shaping the fabric of our society, while the worldly woman is often a tool used by Satan to undermine the wholesomeness of society. However, the world's influence on Christian women in general has made it difficult to distinguish between a Christian woman versus the worldly woman. So guys, if you have a question or comment, you can call us at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Or you may email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. That's canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. Well, guys, it's time for us to introduce our panel of co-hosts. We have Nikki in the building. Nikki, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm fine, Raz. How you doing?
I'm blessed. Happy New Year to you, Nikki. So how was your Christmas, New Year's, and all of that?
Oh, man, I'm a boss, so it was good. I was good to myself. I mean, from the grace that God has given me to be able to be good to myself, you know what I mean? So it was wonderful.
Oh, absolutely. And Nikki, what do you think of today's topic?
I think it's good. I mean, I think that, you know, for us to be going back into talking about, you know, relationships and stuff like that, I think this is a good topic to start off the new year with. Give some guidance and, you know, as always, hopefully we minister, you know, to the people who tune in.
Absolutely. Nikki, it's good to have you back. And for the first time, we have a brother that I've been trying to get on the show for a very long time now. He's kind of, I wouldn't say he's flaky, but he's kind of busy. Brother Carey, how you doing, sir?
What's up, Raz? How you doing? What's up, Nikki? How you doing, girl?
Hey, Carey.
How you doing? How you doing? Good to be on the show, man. Finally glad I was able to make arrangements to make it happen. So my apologies about previous times, but I'm here now. So it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely, man. For those of you that don't know, Carey's like the network king of the Inland Empire, California, and he puts on some live events, and so definitely stay tuned for that, and hopefully we can get him on and help us out with, you know, the radio station and the radio show. So good to have you on, Carey. Real quick, Carey, what do you think of today's topic?
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think I love when you talk about, you know, what a godly woman is, but I particularly thought it was interesting when you drew a contrast between was a godly woman versus a worldly woman. And obviously, in many ways, even when Jesus walked the earth, he was sort of, you know, he would go in those circles and go in those areas that typically, you know, the religious leaders would not go. And so he sort of became like them to win them over. And I think the same endeavor happens today on occasion. But there are sometimes, too, and people have controversy about, well, okay, so we want to be able to reach them, but do we want to blend in too? So being able to draw that that line of, you know, wanting to reach them but not wanting to compromise our standard, I think is a very, very interesting and thoughtful topic. So it'll be interesting to see what, you know, how it goes.
Absolutely. And next, I believe we have, I'm not sure who this is, I think it's Ronnie from the 909 area code. How you doing?
I actually, no, this is Chantel.
Chantel, standing in for Ronnie, yes. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, Chantel. Welcome to Can We Talk for the very first time. Chantel, let us know a little bit about you and what do you think about today's topic?
So I grew up in the church. My grandfather's a pastor. My husband's also a minister. I've done inspirational messages in my church, too, so I can really relate to the topic, as well as I've been giving dating and relationship advice on YouTube, as well as I had a Blog Talk Radio show last summer for a bit. So this is all in my area of interest, but I have a relationship blog where I give advice. So that's a little bit about me, a quick little snippet. And in today's society, I don't feel that the virtuous woman is talked about enough, you know, for our younger girls to look up to have a role model, a positive role model to look up to. And I think that there needs to be more discussion about this so they can aspire to be a virtuous woman. You know, if you read the scripture in Proverbs 31, as you mentioned earlier, it's really a woman that we're all, as women of God, we should all be seeking to uphold the value of a virtuous woman that's spelled out for us there. So I believe it's a beautiful topic for us to dive into, and I have a lot to say about it.
Absolutely. It's good to have you on Can We Talk. Well, guys, it's time for the news. We usually do a news stint and really, you know, to discuss what's going on around the world. Nikki, do you have any articles you want to share today?
Yeah, the article I found interesting, it is titled, Boy Scouts Start Accepting Gay Youth on New Year's Day. It's in the Washington Post. It says that the Boy Scouts of America will accept openly gay youth starting on New Year's Day, a historic change that has prompted the BSA, Boy Scouts of America, to ponder a host of potential complications, ranging from policies on tent mates and showers to where the scouts can march in gay pride parades. Yet despite their be prepared approach, the BSA leaders are rooting for the change to be a non-event. One of the leaders says that my hope is there will be the same effect this January 1st as the Y2K scare, that nothing really happened. And we move forward, business as usual. The thing that I thought that was really that stood out about this whole article, let's just get down to it, is that there are some churches that are sponsoring this change. Among the major sponsors, the Southern Baptist Convention made clear they dropped their supporting of it. But the other churches who accepted it were the Mormons and the Roman Catholic Church have generally accepted the new policy. Many parishes will continue to sponsor scout units, though a few have considered cutting ties. The National Catholic Committee on Scouting posted a question and an answer document in its website delving into the intersection of scouting policy and Catholic teaching. The Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches that individuals who disclose a same-sex attraction are to be treated with the same dignity do all human beings, and also teaches that engaging in sexual activity outside of marriage is always immoral. However, the Catholic Church actually supports the policy change. One likely target of such scrutiny will be former Defense Secretary Robert Gates, scheduled to take over in the spring as the BSA's next president. As leader of the Pentagon, Gates helped change the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, banning openly gay soldiers and gay rights groups. Hope he will try to end the BSA's ban on gay and adult leaders. It also goes into talking about how if parents have a problem with their child bunking in a tent with children who are openly gay, then those parents' wishes should be honored and their children should be separated. They're talking about changing up the open shower policy. And, you know, it just goes on and on. And it's like, when does this stuff, you know, stop? And you can just see how Satan is really just targeting the youth. And it's like even people in positions such as the former defense secretary, you know, who is trying to, who has broken the don't ask, don't tell barrier policy in the military, now he's bringing this stuff down to our children. And for the church, some of these churches to back it up, I think it once again shows how we have full-fledged entered into a openly satanic society. So I'll pass this around to the panel and see some of your thoughts on it. First, I'll go to you, Raz.
Well, I mean, it's a very decent article, and again, it's nothing new, Nikki. We've talked about this already, how, you know, the enemy is definitely targeting. Pretty much, you know, we're in the last days, and this Babylonian system, and it's funny that the culprit always points to the Catholic Church every single
right?
time. I don't know why that is, but it's just another way for them to erode away godly values and make way for the Antichrist system that's about to come into effect real soon, especially in this new year. So look out, you know, prepare your, those of you who have kids, put mind for the onslaught of just outright wickedness, man. And that's my comment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And Carrie, what did you have any thoughts about the article?
Yeah, you know, wow. It's you know, you know we've read about it, we hear about it, we've heard it preached in the church over the years and so forth about Jesus is coming, he's coming back. We don't know the day nor the hour that the Son of Man will return and so forth. And then, you know, in the Gospels, it talks about these are the signs when you know that, although we don't know when he's going to come back, but we do know that there will be signs that will give us indication that the time is drawing near. And we are seeing it right before our eyes. I mean, you know, the homosexual agenda is off the charts. I mean, it's to
right?
a point. It's to a point now. It's like
even if you say, well, you know, I don't really support same-sex marriage, it's like you're a person of hate. I mean, the political and the lobbying of power and agenda of the homosexual movement has infiltrated the White House, our society, and every corner. Historical, fundamental, traditional Christians over the years now are compromising and embracing the standards which God has called an absolute disgrace and blasphemous. So, I mean, it's a shame that this is happening, but I will say that, you know, we as Christians, we need to continue to stay on the straight and narrow. We need to be all the more vigilant in sharing the gospel and being shrewd about it. And obviously there's been people who are Christians who have done things that may be considered a little bit more radical or wild or out of place and so forth that may not have given Christianity a good name. But certainly, you know, we don't have to stand for this, and we can look them right in the eye, even with all the money they have that influences policy changes and things like that that allows the homosexual agenda to continue to flourish and proliferate, and say that, no, you know, this country was founded on godly principles, and a family is a man and a woman, and that the homosexual agenda is not going to change that, although a lot of things are happening that would say just the opposite. But, again, I wanted to say and just wrap up my comment is that, you know, clearly these are the last and evil days. So that's my thoughts on it.
And, I agree. I mean, it's the homosexual agenda is off the Richter scale. You,
right.
You know, hit that nail right on the head. What about you, Chantel? Did you have any comment on the article?
Well, I believe that this is something that has happened in history, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, that God has destroyed, you know, these whole nations. And what is going on is that our nation is forgetting about God. We have on our money and God we trust, and, you know, we say the Pledge of Allegiance, but people are not identifying with who God really is, and therefore they're allowing these things to happen. And it says that in, you know, the last days that the world will become wickeder and wiser. So this is something that the world has seen. Unfortunately, it's becoming worse now with the media, and, you know, it's creeping into television shows. I worked in the entertainment industry for a little bit, and I saw it, you know, everywhere around me, you know, and the goal of pushing it in and bringing it in slowly, you know, to get people to desensitize from it, you know. And so it's not a quick movement. It's a slow movement where people are slowly, slowly accepting it. And it's just like the devil. He uses deception in that way. Think about, you know, how he works on Eve slowly, you know. And so people have forgotten God, and that's why we're now facing and we're now dealing with this. And if our nation can turn back to God, then maybe, you know, we would recover. You know, there's scripture about that too, but I think really the problem is that God is no longer the head of people's lives. A lot of people have turned to other things, and therefore they're accepting any and everything that's going on around them. And then a lot of times it's that they're not being taught right. They just don't know better because they don't know God.
Right.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think a lot of people, you know, I think when you look at it, it's a whole agenda connected together, because how you see all these different shows that try to disprove the Bible, or, you know, different religions that try to disprove the Bible, because the Bible directly, there are scriptures that talk directly against homosexuality, as well as other sins, such as, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, if I'm right, where it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So if the Bible is true, then that would mean that all of, you know, not just homosexuals, but all these people, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. But since homosexuality, even though statistically as of what, last year, they're only supposed to make up 1% of the population, but their agenda is spread so wide, you would think it was more than that. You know, if they're controlling a lot of things in the media and stuff, of course they're going to, you know, it's to, you know, hey, the Bible is not, you know, that it's not historical. It's just fiction. It's fantasy. You know, so, I mean, I think that I know that we as Christians and believers, you know, we need to wake up to this stuff, especially us who have children that are coming up in this stuff. And, you know, because when I was coming up, that wasn't normal. Now
right.
It's trying to be the norm. Everything that's of God is unnormal, abnormal, and everything that's against God is supposed to be normal. So us as believers, we can't get comfortable. We have to come from among them, you
right.
know, and we have to be transformed. But we're so scared to be different and so scared to speak out to where we're blending right in. So if we're blending in, then how is our light showing, and how are we being the salt of the earth? We're not. So that's all on my article, Raz. I mean, I'll give it back to you.
Absolutely. That's an awesome article, Nikki. And, you know, I definitely want to – I know, Carrie, you mentioned that, you know, this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and I beg to differ. That may have been the initial mindset of those that came to this country, but initially, however, we know that, you know, that Satan definitely, you know, took that as an opportunity to work his Babylonian system and really just corrupt this country from the top down, which is why they're passing laws that are so ungodly. And it's no surprise. And it kind of leads into my next article that I want to actually share with you guys. Again, pointing to the Catholic Church. I'm not even sure why everything points back. But anyway, it says that all religions are true. Adam and Eve are a fable. Hell is a mere metaphor, says Pope Francis. And he said this December 28, 2013. And it says, for the last 6 months, Catholic cardinals, bishops, and theologians have been deliberating in the Vatican City discussing the future of the Church and redefining long-held Catholic doctrines and dogmas. The Third Vatican Council is undoubtedly the largest and most important since the Second Vatican Council was concluded in 1962. Pope Francis convened the new council to finally finish the work of the Second Vatican Council. While some traditionalists and conservative reactionaries on the far right have decreed these efforts, they have delighted progressives around the world. The Third Vatican Council concluded today with Pope Francis announcing that the Catholicism is now a modern and reasonable religion, which has undergone evolutionary changes. The time has come to abandon all intolerance. We must recognize that religious truth evolves and changes. Truth is not absolute or set in stone. Even atheists acknowledge the divine. Through acts of love and charity, the atheist acknowledges God as well and redeems his own soul, becoming an active participant in the redemption of humanity. Through humility, soul-searching, and prayerful contemplation, we have gained a new understanding of certain dogmas. The Church no longer believes in a literal hell. I'm going to repeat that. The Church no longer believes in a literal hell where people suffer.
Wow.
This doctrine is inc. You know what? Man.
Wow.
Ooh. You know what? I think we need to take a break. I'm pissed off. I think we need to take a break. I'm back. I'm sorry. I had to get my composure right there, man. That's crazy. All right, so let me finish reading this article. This doctrine is incompatible with the infinite love of God. God is not a judge, but a friend and a love of humanity. God seeks not to condemn, but only to embrace. Like the fable of Adam and Eve, we see hell as a literary device. Hell is merely a metaphor for the isolated soul, which, like all souls, ultimately will be united in love with God, Pope Francis declared. In a speech that shocked many, the Pope claimed all religions are true because they are true in the hearts of all those who believe in them. What other kind of truth is there? In the past, the church has been harsh on those who deem morally wrong or sinful. Today, we no longer judge like a loving father. We never condemn our children. Our church is big enough for heterosexuals and homosexuals, for the pro-life and the pro-choice, for conservatives and liberals, even communists are welcome that have joined us. We all love and worship the same God.
Wow-wee.
Man, so Nikki, what do you have to say about that?
Well, of course, we know that, you know, once again, it's kind of like about what I was saying, that it's the agenda, it's an anti-Christ agenda, because basically, you know, Catholics look at the Pope as God on earth, and but God's word says that there is a hell, and therefore, if the Pope is saying that hell is not a literal place. I mean, he's trying to say that the Bible isn't true. So once again, here we go with the powers that be trying to turn things upside down. And it shows such a Luciferian movement. And if our eyes aren't open, you know, it's like we'll be caught up and swept right into all of this and not even realize what's going on because of the desensitization that's trying to be force-fed to us. But now, I will agree as far as the church is for the sinner. That's what the church is for. But it's not to make the sinner be comfortable as a sinner. It's to lead him to the truth. You know what I mean? And basically, from what I'm understanding, what you're articulating to me, Raz, is that the Pope is basically saying you can be however you want to be. You don't have to be afraid. So if there's no consequence to my sin, then why should I change? Because as we know, we wrestle with our, you know, we have the spirit and the flesh are at enmity, the Bible says. And we all know that those sinful desires come from our flesh. So if I have no consequence and my flesh can just run rampant, why do I have to change? I'm good how I am. So to me it sounds like just tithes and offering. Everybody come and give your money. But then it also explains to me as to why there aren't really great penalties for these priests who are raping these kids. Because, you know what I'm saying, church is for everybody, and there's no hell, according to them. So it's like you have to look at what the real agenda is, and it's time to wake up. It is time to, like, wake up and stop sleeping. You know, we go to church for 30 minutes, and God forbid it's a 2-3 hour sermon, we ready to get on, you know, and then after Sunday service and Wednesday service, you know, hey, I done did my God duty, you know, but we become so desensitized to where we're not looking at the real root of the problem. It's like, oh, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. You know what I mean? Sure. So, I mean, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, and you know, we have lost a lot of flavor.
Absolutely.
So,
well,
I mean,
the thing is that this is the Pope who apparently is a world-renowned religious leader that everybody or a lot of people in the world look up to, and it's sad that he's going to deceive and send a lot of people to hell along with him. And I hate to say it like that, but that's the truth. If you believe in what he's putting out there, I mean, for example, he's saying that the Bible this is what he says: the Bible is a beautiful holy book, but like all great and ancient works, some passages are outdated. Some even call for intolerance or judgment. He's criticizing what the Word of God, and so I mean, so that in itself is blasphemous,
and so
you know, I really think that look out for what the Catholic Church is about to bring in. I'm predicting that they're gonna come out with a statement that there are UFOs life on other planets and that they're going to embrace a space brother, so to speak, and that's my prediction on that. So look out for that, you know, look out for that in the news real soon. And so I want to pass this on to Chantel. Chantel, what do you think about this article?
Man, my husband had told me about this, and it just really broke my heart, you know, honestly. Like, I believe that it's like, I looked up the scripture, Matthew 7:15, it says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raven wolves." And this is an attack of the enemy. The devil wants everyone to believe that the hell doesn't exist, because then he has all the power, you know. And so if we as, you know, a nation don't believe in hell, then we aren't going to be seeking for God. And so this is just the deception, you know, that I was talking about earlier. He's just trying to deceive everyone. And what's happening is souls are being lost because of it. You know, the priest that said this, you know, he's going to be held accountable. But like she said, you know, with him are going to go so many other people. And so I really feel like this is his plan, is to make people believe. I mean, you hear people say that, and maybe not godly figures like the Pope, but you hear people saying that who are atheists, they don't believe that there is a hell, or that could be such a horrible thing. But the truth is that there is, and I feel like we as Christians have to go out there and we have to bring evangelism to people so that they won't lose their soul, because ultimately that's what's happening. And it's just really devastating that this has come to this, you know, where the Pope is putting out statements like this. And those that are since not really sure if they should believe in God, or they're trying, you know, they're trying to find their way, this is just going to turn them. And I just feel like we as Christians have to get out there and we have to get the message of God. And not only, you know, is there a hell, but there's a heaven that, you know, and a God that loves us. So, I mean, this is really a horrible thing that happened. That's how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, Carrie, what's your thoughts about the whole thing?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. I like what Chantel and Nikki both saying, is you as well, Raz. You know, one of the things I just thought about is I just think it's completely ridiculous to think God is this lovey-dovey Pillsbury doughboy that just wants to just hug everybody, do what you want to do, and
right?
he sent the Son down here on earth to put on human flesh and go through all of the crazy stuff just so that we would have the right to come back to the Father. And then we'll be heirs and joint heirs with him. God is absolutely a God of love, but he is a God of judgment as well. That's very consistent in his nature. That's consistent in our nature. We're not all lovey-dovey 100% of the time. And I think it's interesting, too, how we're trying to downplay the significance and the reality of hell. I guess, you know, if you, you know, sort of downplay it and not make hell as significant, it gives you a little bit more freedom, I guess, when you're conscious to do whatever you want to do, because there's no consequence. Well, there's a consequence to everything that we do in life, bottom line. And for religious leaders of our world to try to say that that's not the case, or to, again, as we've been using this word, pacify, you know, the reality of what hell is. I mean, it's just an indication of the time is drawing near for the Son of Man to return.
Absolutely. Well, guys, listen to this real quick, and this is one thing that I wanted to really highlight for those that are listening. And, you know, Pope Francis says that the church no longer believes in a literal hell where people suffer. And it is in a few sentences down, he also says that all religions are true, because they are true in the hearts of all those who believe in them. Well, a couple of scriptures that I want to highlight is this, is John 14:6. Jesus answered and said,
right.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what he's saying right here is completely erroneous. So anyway, 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets, just like Chantel said, have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So based upon those scriptures, is Pope Francis from God? I think not.
Right.
So
yeah,
that's my comment.
This is great. Yeah, it's good stuff.
No, I believe
that's
he is deception. Definitely. Like, he's definitely not of God. You, the devil can dwell in you. You wouldn't die when God is within you.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Well, guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, with today's topic is the definition of a godly woman. You can call us at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Or you may email us at canwetalkradio@gmail.com. Well, what occurred to me this morning in preparation for tonight's show was, for some reason, I had always grown up with the ignorance of opinion that a worldly woman was some mysterious woman of the night, you know, the one that dressed like a tramp on the side of the street. But this ignorant stereotyping, you know, there are many women living worldly outside of God's will for their lives, and they're not dressing like harlots. There's women in business in who are nurses, doctors, lawyers, attorneys, and all kinds of areas of society that are blending so ever so easily. However, these women are not living in the will of God. So there is definitely a distinct difference between a worldly woman and a godly woman and how they act and react. So tonight we really want to focus our attention on discerning the differences and highlighting the differences, so those of you that are striving to live godly can know what are the characteristics you should be striving for, and those of you that are not living godly, it's definitely a warning or a heeding to really, you know, encourage you to be godly, because it has many more benefits than disadvantages. So I want to focus our attention to Proverbs 7, and Proverbs 7, verse 9 through 12, it says, a worldly woman's intentions are different. The worldly woman is inclined to a state of suggestive compromise of her moral purity, while the godly woman is vigilant and determined not to put herself in a position that would even suggest compromise. And I want to pass that statement to Chantel. What do you think about that comment?
That is so true. My mom brought me up to be a godly woman, and she would always give me scripture to back that up. So she would tell me things like that. Some of these are scriptures, but I don't know where they're all found, but you can find, you know, if you were interested in finding them. One of them was to not let your good be spoken evil of. So don't put yourself in situations where it could even appear that you are a certain way or that something is going on that's not happening, you know, because when that happens, then people may assume one thing or another. And also, that helps you stay out of trouble, you know. She would tell me things like, this wasn't a scripture, but she would tell me things like, you know, don't put yourself in dark places so that you don't end up in situations that you shouldn't be in. And every decision that I made, you know, or I tried to do my best to follow through where I knew that be proud of that decision, you know, and if it was a decision that was a very important decision in my life, I would always go to God with that decision. And I believe being a godly woman, you have to do those things. You have to study the scripture, know the scripture so that you can know the way, and then you have to implement that in your life and allow God to guide you. And I feel that as a godly woman, you're always striving for that. You know, we're only perfect through Christ Jesus, but if we're continuing to strive to be like him, then that, I believe, is the formula to being a godly woman.
Absolutely. My next point is this. The imagination is different, and that can be found in Proverbs 7:10. The worldly woman is absorbed with her sexuality and a need for significance for her own benefit. However, the godly woman, however, guards her sexuality with clothing and mannerisms that does not draw lustful attention, and knows the value of her significance in Christ Jesus. And I want to pass that comment to Nikki.
Well, that's true. Well, I was going to say, if you look today, well, it's so hard to tell the difference today, because it's like, you know, as Chantel was saying, my mother raised me. You know, my grandfather is a pastor, and You know, my mother was a counselor and many things in the church. So I, too, was raised not just in church but in Christ. And she gave me a significant moral Christ-based foundation. And it is just certain ways that a godly woman, a true woman of God, carries herself versus a woman that is not godly. And today it's hard to tell the difference because you have women who say that they're women of God and they do the exact same things that the women of the world do because they haven't come out from among them. They haven't been transformed. And so the biggest problem is that the word says that for the older women to teach the younger women. Well, the older women are like about my age now. So it's like they haven't had any, unless you had a mother like I had, they haven't been given any moral foundation. So there's nothing to teach the younger women. So therefore, everybody's leading and trying to lure with their sexuality and with lust. And it's like, it's that whole the nice guy finish last. Well, the moral girl doesn't get the guy. And so it's like, you know, even at church, you dress as skimpy as possible, show as much cleavage as you can, go after the man with everything that you have, because what you won't do, 10 other women will. So now you're still left out. But because trusting in God is not the foundation, because you don't want the man that is going to pursue all the harlots anyway, you want to wait for the true man of God, because that's not being taught, because we don't have the older women teaching the younger women anymore. It's like, man, I got to get in where I fit in. And so, yeah, it's like a true woman of God is going to carry herself different, because she's going to hold herself at a higher value, because she's going to see herself the way God sees her, and that she's going to understand that she is a jewel and something to be treasured and waited for. And although this scripture wasn't meant for that, but I'm going to use it in that context, she's not going to cast her pearls before swine. And so it's ridiculous the way that you see girls that's 13, 14, 15 years old walking down the street looking like, you know, fresh and ready prostitutes. Well, these girls aren't going to the store buying their own clothes. Their moms are responsible, or grandmas, whoever, are responsible for this stuff. But there's no more to be moral is so obsolete. And what did the Pope say? It's outdated. So that's the problem that we have right now. Everything is so confused and twisted, and we're almost in a reprobate state to where to be good is bad and to be bad is good. That's my comment.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Nikki, you made a comment that that these days you can hardly tell the difference between a godly woman versus a worthy woman, and especially in the way that they dress. And we've attended the same church, Nikki, and we've seen how women can be dressed, and it's like going to a club at nighttime. So why do you think that is? I mean, they're sitting down receiving the word. Is it deliberate disobedience, or is it just that pretty much they're what's your comment on that?
Well, Kerry attends that church, too, so he can comment, too. But my comment is this. My comment is this. It's, like I said, you can only do what you know. And when you know better, you do better. So if you were never taught better, you don't do better. And with our church being as large as it is, and with our church having such a diverse group of people, you still have so many people that are there that are
broken, hungry, and searching. The church is actually for broken people anyway. It's the hospital. It's the spiritual hospital. And so I don't believe, me personally, when you come to church, now you're talking about the women that are that are professing to be godly women. We're not even talking about people who aren't saved that are going there. We're talking about people who are professing to be saved. Well, these people, it's something there that's a disconnect. It goes back to, I have to do this in order to push myself to the front of the line so I can get somebody's attention, because I'm really not trusting that God is going to bring it. And God gave me this banging body. He gave me this, you know what I'm saying, for me to put it on display, for me to get that deacon, that usher, that brother that's putting the chairs out. You know, it done got so bad to where maybe I'm even trying to get attention from the dude that's just erased in the board. I just want to be with somebody.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, when you know better, you do better. And when you let the Holy Spirit truly move, it's about having a relationship with God. And what you're talking about, Raz, is we're seeing a form of godliness. You're coming and you're doing all the rituals. You're coming to church. You're singing the praise songs. But the Bible says you know a tree by the fruit that it bears. So if that tree is not bearing the proper fruit, then guess what? You see what I'm saying? So that's what I feel. That's what I believe that it is. Because if you're truly trusting God, I don't have to. If I'm a, how can I be a woman of God and minister to anybody, and my cleavage is hanging out, or when I sit down, I minister to this brother, and my skirt is up so high, he can't even focus on nothing I'm saying. So if the Holy Spirit isn't pulling your coattail, something ain't right. Because when I was new into ministry, I did have that issue to where I wasn't tripping. Like, you know, hey, I'm up there ministering everything, and the Holy Spirit himself had to say, you need to change your shirt, button it up, put on a turtleneck, something. Because the word is not even sinking in, because they're focused on something else. So if the Holy Spirit is not pulling your coattail, something is wrong. There's a breakdown there, and you're gratifying your flesh. The flesh is not, you know, you have to kill your flesh daily. And that loneliness is, you know, and those things that need to be still, you know, you still need to be delivered from. They haven't been delivered from them. So, I mean, that's my comment. I'll ask Carrie the same question. What you think, Carrie?
You know, okay, this is interesting. Well, you know, a couple of things that come to mind. You know, there, I heard someone make the comment, if it's not for sale, don't advertise.
Right?
But I think another thing, too, is, you know, with all due respect, Nikki and Chantel, I think that's phenomenal that you guys had the benefit of having parents who fear God and passed that same reverence and love for God onto you and showed you. But I'm going to go on a limb and say that a lot of people who go to church, unfortunately, didn't have that experience. So I think
right.
We have a lot of people who have come into the church who don't have a clue what it means to really walk upright. I mean, practically speaking, say, okay, I love God, I have God forgiven my sins, I have Jesus Christ into my heart. Now what? What do we do now? And I think there's another thing, too. So you have people who have been sort of disconnected from sort of this culture of what it means to be a godly woman or to be godly in general. But I also think we're talking about culture, too, in general. And I think that, you know, we talked about, you know, how we're to be in the world but not of the world. And I think in terms of fashion has absolutely permeated the church. And I think what we see is a lot of people coming forth in the church, and they are merely expressing what the culture has sort of facilitated. I think we have that as well. There's a scripture in the Bible, and it is, I want to say it's in Philippians. I could be wrong. But it talks about how, Paul's making this comment to the women of this particular church, saying that don't let your beauty be the outward adorning of the braiding of your hair or the jewelry that you wear or your clothes, but let it be
you know, the inward person of who you are. And I think that there are sometimes, I'm not sure there's a great deal of emphasis of how we're being taught practically, both men and women, but in this case, we're just talking about women, what it means to be beautiful on the inside, because we put so much focus and attention on the outside. They do it in the world, but I think we do it in the church as well. I mean, you know, I remember watching TV a long time ago that, what's his name, the guy that was out of Atlanta, Eddie Long. I mean, he was preaching his sermon with his sleeves cut off, showing off his new guns and that he'd been working out. I might say, what is this? And then recently, it was funny, I don't watch Wendy Williams, I just happened to flip the channel, but they had Megan Good on there. And so they're talking about, they're talking about this new movie, you know, Anchorman 2, and you know, she's a star in the movie. Well, anyway, make a long story short, you know, one of the things that Wendy Williams brought up to Megan Good is, you know, I know that you're married to a minister. I don't think he's a pastor, but I think, you know, he clearly is a minister. But, you know, oftentimes when you see Megan Good, I mean, she's showing a lot of cleavage. And so, admittedly, you know, Megan Good stated that she's getting a lot of flack from Christians about how she carries herself. And so when Wendy Williams confronted her about it, you know, she went up and said, well, you know, I've been in the acting business for a long time. I do love God, blah, 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 and I shouldn't be judged because my cleavage is showing. And I think and that all the more speaks to the fact that there's – I think a lot of people actually believe that they can, you know, kind of show their cleavage or embrace the fashion trends that really do exude and accentuate your curvy figures and so forth and really, you know, live a godly life. And I think it's going to be – it's necessary for – other Christian women who have had the benefit of being taught and given direction on what it really means to walk up righteously and how to embody godliness, not just on the inside, but and how that transforms to their wardrobe and other things like that so they can have this completely godly image. Because I'm telling you, as me being a man that's walking up before God, don't get me wrong, I love seeing curves just like anyone else. But if I'm looking for a wife, I'm not looking for something that she is showing off to all the other guys and so forth. I'm looking for something totally different. If I just want to be entertained and get my lust on, okay, I'm going to look at the woman who curves and got all the cleavage showing. But when I'm talking about a godly woman, I'm looking for someone who absolutely embodies the godness inside and out. So that's my feedback on that.
Go ahead.
I agree with what you're saying. Some girls haven't had that, and I feel that so it also matters where they place their value. You know, they find value in the men, and they only feel that they're beautiful if the man tells them that, and that's because they haven't been taught it. And I believe that once they are taken into the church, it's up to the women at the church, the older women or the women that know God. You know, you can be a babe in Christ and come to a woman who knows God, whether she's old in her age or she's just old in her relationship. She's had a relationship with God for longer that comes to her and expresses to her this. And I think also goes back to what I said at the beginning, it's about having a relationship with God, and that involves communicating with him, praying, and reading your Bible. And the more that they do that, the more that they will learn about the scriptures to talk about modesty and about presenting yourself, you know, being holy and a temple of God, all those different scriptures that you learn. I feel that it's about building a relationship with God, and that's what they're missing. They don't value themselves as women, and they're not being taught it, and they're not building a relationship with God if they've been at the church for a long time and they haven't changed their outer appearance.
I mean, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true, Chantel. And it's like what you said, the value that they're placing, well, once again, blending in with society, what does society show and the mainstream media show? The mainstream media and society talks about how beautiful a woman is depending on her body, and it's like even these ridiculous commercials, you know, like the Crocs commercial and all that. Why is everything so sexualized? Why is a woman darn near half-naked eating a Carl's Jr. hamburger? What does that have to do with anything? But it's like everything is so over-sexualized and you have to look this way. And, I mean, and I personally think, me personally, that if dudes didn't trip off that, I don't think women would trip off of it. If dudes thought women looked cute in a paper bag, she'd wear the paper bag, you know? So it all goes back to the moral standing, how you're taught, and if you're taught to put the proper value on the proper things. And if you're not, like I said, when you know better, you do better. And if you don't know better, then you just will not do better.
Well, and that's true, too. And I also believe, like, you can be taught until you're blue in the face, but each individual has to make a conscious choice for themselves to serve God. You know, a godly woman, you know, invests in God's glory. And we can look at that example in 1 Corinthians 10:31. You know, so I believe that the contrast between a worldly woman and a godly woman, their investments are different. The way they view their inspiration is different. You know, they have a godly woman has a different value system. The world's value system is like we just talked about, is way different from God's value system. God's value does not go by your appearances, because he first loved you. That's what makes you beautiful, because he created you, not because of your big butt or your shapely breasts or what have you. And that's the thing that we really have to it's a renewed mind. And that's my comment.
Right.
But you know, but I would say, though, I would go back to the point of that while we know that, I'm not sure everyone really understands that. And I'm saying
exactly.
That's
what I'm talking about,
the
being
practical
taught.
Aspects of Scripture, as what was said way back 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, how does it apply today? And how does a person who now has embodied Christ, how should they conduct themselves? I mean, you know, and what are the alternatives? I mean, you know, one reason why I do these sort of these mixers and things, get people to come over, because I realize that Christians need fellowship. They need to bond with other Christians. They need to build relationships. They need to build close interrelationship with other Christians as a support group.
Right.
And Paul said this throughout all the epistles in the New Testament, encouraging one another, pray for one another, be one another. I mean, it's one thing to stand on God's word, I believe, and you know, we pray to God and we do all we can to walk up before God, but it's impossible to walk and live this Christian life unless we, as other believers, are supporting other believers. Show me a person that doesn't have a support group of Christians or people they're accountable to, and I'm going to show you a Christian who's not living an optimal Christian life.
Absolutely. Well, guys, real quick,
it looks like
we have a caller, and I'm going to go to a couple calls real quick. We have a caller from the 213 area code. Hello, caller. How you doing? Welcome to Can We Talk. Do you have a question or comment? Caller from the 213 area code. Do you have a question or comment for the panel? Okay, I guess they just want to listen, and that's okay. We have another caller from the 310 area code. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Okay, I guess we just had some listeners tonight. That's good. Well, back to the show, guys. And I want to talk about the media's influence on the effect the media has on godliness in women. And I want to discuss this topic because I believe that the media has a very profound impact on our culture, good and bad, mostly bad. The show that I really want to talk about in particular is Scandal, which depicts the character Olivia Pope, played by Kerry Washington. Pope isn't the average or typical character most often associated with black women in the media, nor is she a gold-digging, neck-rolling, cat-fighting reality TV persona or a Tyler Perry character. Instead of being stereotypical, Pope provides an image of a normal black woman which is rarely seen in the media, not to mention she's beautiful and the object of affection of the most powerful man in the nation, the president. Again, something rarely seen in the media. But here's the thing. Even though Olivia Pope is successful, beautiful, and intelligent, like many of the young women are out there, a very big part of her image on the show is playing a whore to the president. Even though she is his true love, she's still playing the role of a black side chick, homewrecker, and mistress. So is Olivia Pope just a character on screen, nothing more or nothing less? I don't think so. Is Shonda Rhimes and the other scandal writers responsible for portraying black women in a certain light, especially with Shonda being a black woman? Or do some of us look too deeply into this? Is it just TV, a soap opera, and that's pretty much just it? So, I mean, on this show, we've seen a lot of infidelity, sex scenes, characters, you know, just tragically displayed in. And I want to get you guys, comment on that, and I'm going to stop with you, Kerry.
You know, that's interesting. Yeah. You know, one of the things I think that we need to be aware of is that, you know, from the homosexual community to other ungodly people who control images, I mean, they all work in media. They work in film, work in TV, and things like that. And while they may try to say, well, like, for instance, Scandal is just an isolated incident, it's a fictitious character that really is not supposed to be, you know, paint with a broad brush that this is representative of other women in the United States. The bottom line is, it's being used, it's being shown to everyone through a medium that is seen by millions and millions of people. And, you know, whether they want to agree with it or not, or believe this is what the case is, you know, they are driving and influencing values, standards, belief system, and things of that nature. And that's a real unfortunate part about it. So while something may be appreciated as being artistic and intriguing as a show, that because of the platform that they have, it tends to have very much of a ripple effect and collateral damage in terms of shaping and molding and tweaking, you know, value systems and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. I think, too, there's something to be said about, you know, the born-again believers who are in the entertainment industry, that they should be a little bit more discriminatory in terms of the roles and the parts that they accept, realizing how they will be portrayed and how that may also shape and influence value system and how the impact it'll have on people as well. But the entire system of entertainment is totally driven by people who probably are not trying to lift up the name of Jesus.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And here's the main thing is this is that you know, all you scandal lovers out there, you know, need to come to the realization and admit that this kind of television programming is television is pretty much a powerful driver of culture anyway, you know, and a lot of black girls are going to see their place in the world a lot differently because of this character in ways that are microscopic and, to me, magnanimous and massive. So, you know, I want to read an article. This was written by a journalist, I believe. She wrote this. She said that we're not, and she's a black journalist, she said, we're not accustomed to being wanted, lusted after, yes, fantasized about, no doubt, and objectified, wanted, loved, dreamed for, not so much. Historically, we've been sex objects, things of use but not desire, people to have sex with but not to make love to. Historically, we've been second class and rarely depicted as much else. This is why black women love Scandal. Wow, so according to her, the fact that Olivia Pope, who is a fictional character, is depicted as a whore, lusted after, smashed like a tramp, is gratifying and uplifting to black women. This is just so ridiculous and wrong on so many levels and speaks to the low self-esteem in many hurting women who are being manipulated in thinking that their pride, the pride of life, will somehow cure their deep scars and wounds of their souls. So I want to get your comment on that, Nikki.
Well, I don't watch Scandal. And so as you were talking, I had to look it up to see what the basis of it was about. But the thing is that
you don't watch Scandal? You're the only black woman I know that don't watch Scandal.
I guess so. But it's funny because over the past 2 weeks, I have been talking to a friend of mine about this same subject of being a side chick. And it's like being the side chick is something, what I found out to most people, is very common. And I don't understand how that is even possible to be the side chick. Like, that has to be the loneliest, most unfulfilling life ever. Not only is it lonely, should it be lonely and unfulfilling, but it's scandalous. It's like you don't care about anybody but you. You know, you are willing to, when I was about 13 years old, a friend of mine's mother, it was a group of me and my friends, you know, teenagers, you know, I was raised in the projects, and we were over to one of my friend's house, and her mother, you know, had this guy that she was seeing and had been seeing for years. And when we came to the realization to understand that he was only there 3 days out of the week because he was married, and 4 days out of the week he was at home with his wife and kids, I asked her, why was that? Why did you even allow that? And she told me, at 13 years old, a piece of a man is better than no man at all. And I said, at 13, the devil is alive. I knew way back then that that was wrong thinking. You know, so it's just like it goes, I guess, again, with not only how you're raised, but what's put in front of your eyes. And, you know, because you can be raised a certain way, but if you're in an environment and you're not strong enough to be separate from the environment, you're going to fall right into it. And nowadays, it's women are so hungry to be with the man and not be alone, to where it's, I'll take any crumb he has to give me as long as I get it. Maybe that's why, I mean, I've never even seen a preview, really, of the show. And usually
sure,
I am
Nikki?
A person, I'm absolutely positive.
Yeah,
and I'm like, when you were telling me, I was looking it up right now. And I see it's Kerry Washington, and I guess the president is Caucasian, so I guess she is a little black side chick or whatever. But the thing is that it all has to do with your value. And I guess a woman like me... It'll take a special man to be with somebody like me, because I'm not settling. It's all or nothing for me. And I'm not going to be the side chick, and no dude that's with me gonna have a chick on the side. You know, it can't work like that. And you have to say, I mean, to me, in my thinking, is like, you know, something really has to be disconnected. There has to be some real issues of rejection and let down and hurt, you know, to even consider that. And then, like I said, to me, in my mind, in my thinking, it's like I wouldn't want somebody to do that to me. So I would do it with somebody else. You see what I mean? So, I mean, I think it's way out. It's just way out, because you reap what you sow. And when you sow a seed, you reap a harvest. So you're going to get it back way worse than you said.
Well, here's my reasoning for mentioning this article written by this black reporter, mainly because of the fact that she kind of glorifies the show based upon its negative and immoral acts that we see. We see adultery. We see that Olivia Pope is three men are in love with her, and the black man that was in love with her, she says she rejects him in a very horrible and embarrassing way, while she gravitates towards the white president, you know. And so it has so many different types of negative symbolic type of, you know, connotations that are very deplorable, to be honest with you. And for her to, as a black woman, to say that black women love this show and can identify with this show because they're excited that other races of men are attracted to them because of this show, and also because of the fact that it shows a woman who's in power. There's nothing powerful about Olivia Pope. She goes around, she's mostly like a mercenary, you know, getting people killed, kidnapping people, There's no power in that. Why would you gravitate to? And Christian women are watching this program and they love this show. So, question to you, Chantel, is what are your thoughts about this show? And should a woman who's striving to be godly watch such a show? Because there's such a thing called garbage in, garbage out.
You know, I haven't seen this show either.
It's two of us.
Can somebody call in who watches the show?
I think someone's lying.
Somebody needs to call in.
I promise to God, I have never seen this show before.
No, I can still comment on it, but I just want to let you know you're not the only one. I haven't seen it either. But I think that it's really interesting that there is not a lot of shows where black women are the main character. And it's interesting that this particular show, like mainstream shows, I should say, you know, that they're showing on other channels besides BET or Centric or, you know, any other black television channels and networks. So the fact that this show is on, you know, I don't know what network it's on, but I know it's not on one of those networks. And she's, you know, this what is perceived to be a powerful woman, because the preview that I did see of the show, it made her out to be, like, the most amazing person that you could ever become, you know. And then I didn't know. Yes, exactly. Like, I believe what it was that I saw, like, the first beginning of the first episode, and I didn't watch the rest of it. But anyway, it made her out to be this just really powerful woman that you should aspire to be. And this is why our girls are struggling within themselves and not finding value within just being who they are and accepting any and everything, you know. And I think that it's terrible that once we finally get a spot for a black woman who's, you know, the main character of a show, that this is what she represents. And the media has a way of portraying black women always in a negative light, you know. And then the fact that, as you commented on the article, that the fact that not only is she, you know, a black woman that's portrayed as powerful, but who is the side chick and, you know, committing adultery with this guy who is the president married in the show?
Yes, he is.
She just stands by and she knows what's going on, too. The first lady, she knows what's going on. She's like, hey, you know.
Yeah, and then that's okay and that we should aspire to be this way because, you know, this is what we have to look up to. I just think it's really sad, and it's a testament to where we are, you know, and I think even more so that's why we have to embrace each other as women. In the church, you know, women are always tearing each other down, and maybe we're tearing black women down. And as a woman of God, I don't know that I would say not. I don't know. I don't know if I would just not watch the show at all. I mean, maybe I feel like maybe that should be my answer. But I think more so than that, I think it's more about explaining to women and being that, you know, role model, that you don't have to be that, and you don't accept, you know, second best. You know, God loves you for who you are. He made you to be amazing, and you are to be loved 100%, and you won't accept anything less. And I feel that that's really what we should be focused on, is showing and being there for young women and, you know, being a shoulder sometimes for them to even just cry on. Like, as women, if you're being a virtuous woman, I think you have to kind of push yourself out there and make yourself available to them, because you may not know that they're hurting or that they're dealing with something, but just being there, you know, being available to them, I think is really what it takes and what we need to be doing more of as women of God. And I don't see that enough. And sometimes, for me, myself, you know, when I first started doing my YouTube channel, where I give advice to young girls who write me all the time that deal with these self-esteem issues and not valuing themselves, I really didn't know how to address those things, you know, because I'm pretty young myself. I'm 25. But I was able to use me in that way. And so I learned that no matter how old you are, no matter where you are, you should always try to be there for them. And as a woman of God, being that role model and trying to reach out your hand to them, because you never know what they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But, you know, I have to say that I think as an actress, Kerry Washington is doing, you know, herself a disfavor, especially to the young black girls watching this, and not only just young black girls, any, you know, women out there, period, who can be very impressionable. And we all know that society is trying to mold and distort godly values and recreate them in the way that they see fit to create society
Absolutely.
The way they want it to be created. And so as an actress who has a degree of intelligence, you should be more careful not to sell yourself out for a paycheck and notoriety, but to be conscious of how your the role that you're acting is going to impact people's lives. What happened to the role models? Like when I grew up, I was watching the Cosby Show, and it showed a wholesome black family whose wife was a doctor. What happened to Good Times in Florence, who was a housewife? I mean, those were positive black role models. Women to me. But now we've come so far that we're showing, you know, this woman who's just, you know, acting crazy, and disrespecting black men on top of that too, and that's a no no.
Yeah, but
what do you think about my comment,
let me say this all too. But here's what I will say too. A couple of things. Well, first of all, I think this is very intriguing that we're talking about Kerry Washington and finally get a prominent black actress in a prominent role, and this is the part that she's playing and so forth, the character means blah blah blah. And it sort of reminds me when Denzel Washington and Halle Berry won Oscars for their roles. Well, you know, we
right.
all know Denzel Washington played some very distinguished, dignified roles. Always got nominated but never won the Oscar. But it was not until he played a thug that he won it. And then Halle Berry played Dorothy Dandridge. I mean, a very successful singer and very standout figure. Did an extraordinary job. But she didn't get the Oscar until she played a flimsy sleeve bag in, what's it called, Monster's Ball. Well, I think that's all kind of interesting right there, but I'm serious. It's kind of interesting, but yeah, I do think that. But here's sort of the hypocrisy in all this. These shows aren't just number one because they're just showing a movie. I mean, Nielsen ratings are now very sophisticated where they can really pinpoint exactly how many people are watching the show. The bottom line is folks watch the show. They throw the if we are all in agreement that, you know, Scandal is TV trash and it's not good in terms of moral values and other things like that, well, that must be what sells because everyone's flocking to it, including black women, including black Christian women. I spoke recently. Love God, former First Lady, so Bible toting, scripture quoting, woman of God, tongue talking, Holy Ghost filled, switch her Bible study night so she made sure she can watch.
Shut
Canada.
Up, Kerry.
Wow. Wait, Kerry, what? What? Say it again.
You said what now?
Say it, repeat what you just said.
I said that I spoke to a very good friend of mine. And I asked her, I said, okay, so she's cheating with the president, the wife, and so there's all this stuff going on. I said, well, how do you feel as a Christian woman? She said, well, it's just good. I said, oh. I said, so although you understand all this stuff, you're still going to watch. She said, look, if I ain't going to watch it, I'm going to make sure I record it to make sure I'm never going to miss an episode of Scandal. I see Facebook posts of women saying, I wonder what's going on tonight. There's this whole culture centered around Scandal, the black women, and they don't seem to be too concerned about it. So I'm saying,
okay,
Kerry,
hold on a second. We need to take a break.
Okay.
I'm
sorry. That's the second time I've been upset on this show. That's why I had to take a break to gain my composure. Wow.
Hey, but you know what? That track is that. But you know what? That track is pretty fly. Yeah, give me that track. That track is.
Nice. It's bomb, man. That's what's up.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, but that's but yeah. So on one hand, I hear the argument and so forth, and I totally agree with you. But you know, it's not like you know Hollywood's putting a gun to everyone's head saying you better watch Scandal on Thursday night. They do it voluntarily.
But here's the thing: if we know that God hates these things that we see in Scandal, then why do so many godly women like this and gravitate towards this show? Okay, it's addicting all this sort of stuff, but it's not. It is not. I'm sure it has a higher rating than the Bible that was on the History Channel. So I mean, you know, I mean, why are they watching this show? If you were pursuing godliness and that is not reflecting a godly woman, why would you watch that?
But see, my thought is this, right? Because while we can make Scandal the redheaded stepchild, I mean, there if we really want to call a spade, a lot of things that we listen to, a lot of shows that we watch, that probably could be seen in somewhat of a similar light when we would God or be pleasing to God. So I think that we want to we want to make sure that we stay within the parameters of, well, okay, we're talking about Scandal, but we want to be thoughtful, too, just making sure that across the board that we're being fairly consistent.
Yeah,
so
but the title of today's show is the definition of a godly woman, and my the reason why I brought up Scandal is because I know that it's widely watched by a lot of black women and women, period. However, if you're a woman pursuing godliness, watching a show as such a character, well, is there a chance that it could affect your godliness and you striving to become more godly? Nikki, what do you think about that?
Nikki there? Nikki?
Okay, Nikki, say it again, Raz, because I couldn't. I was losing y'all.
Okay. Kerry mentioned that we shouldn't come down too hard on Scandal because he's sure that there's other programs that we're watching that's not pleasing to God. And that's true. However, the title to today's show is titled The Definition of a Godly Woman, and I brought up Scandal because this is a show that is loved by so many women in the church, but is widely watched. And a woman who's striving to become godly, we know that it's not easy to live godly in this world right now. It's over-sexualized. There's so many things bombarding our minds that is really competing for our lives. And so a show like Scandal, will it make it harder for a woman who is striving to become godly live that godly lifestyle?
Well, I think that any show that is not edifying to your spirit, no, I'm not saying sit in front of it and watch Channel 40 all day long, but or should I say TBN? I went way back to Channel 40, but TBN.
Yeah, you did go back.
I went back.
You did yourself.
But I'm just saying anything that is not edifying to your spirit and you're trying to walk holy and acceptable before the Lord, it's going to be a problem because anything you're supposed to watch what you put before your eyes, what you put in your ears, you're supposed to watch that. So anything that you're watching and you're dedicating stuff to, and Kerry, I believe I heard you right. I think I was breaking up at the time. But I think I heard you say that somebody switched a Bible study, so their Bible study night, so they'll be able to watch this show. That right there tells you the impact that it has.
That's
you know?
Exactly
so
what I said.
To me, all it does is it does things like this, shows of this nature that have any, to me, this is me. And this is probably why I haven't watched it, looked for it, any of it. Anything that draws the masses, this is me. Anything that draws the masses, I go the opposite way. That's just how I am. Because it's like, what is the catch? There's a catch there. And I'm not going to be caught up in it. And so if it's drawing the worldly as well as the Christians, I can expect, you know, people of the world to watch it. You know, but if it's based on a lady that's a side chick, and I was reading it, the plot of it, and it was saying that Kerry Washington is a former White House communications director for the President of the United States. But the trip part about the plot is what it says is that, I guess her name is Olivia Pope. Olivia Pope has started her own crisis management firm, Pope & Associates,
and has decided to dedicate her life to protecting the public images of the nation's elite. How are you protecting somebody's image and you somebody's side chick? So I'm like, the whole thing is crazy, but the title alone lets you know, you know, you. So, yeah, Raz, I agree with you. I mean, you shouldn't be watching it if you're trying to walk holy and acceptable before Christ. Do we throw out everything and not watch TV at all? No, we haven't gotten to that extreme. But I look at it like this. The Bible says, what may be a sin to me may not be a sin to you. So when the Holy Spirit gives you that unction, you shouldn't be watching this, then you need to turn your TV off. And that's my point.
Let me ask you this. What would you say to people listening right now who are saying that we're being too judgmental, that we probably also watch things that are not, you know, that are not wholesome? I think, Carrie, you made a point about that.
I would say this. You're probably absolutely right. I probably do watch things that aren't wholesome, you know, but when God brings it to my attention that this is not edifying to my spirit, then I stop watching it. Now, see, this is the problem. There's a difference between being judgmental and telling the truth. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to tell the truth. And everybody uses being judgmental and being to be oversensitive because what they want to do, what they want to do. And people don't want to hear the truth. So that's what I would say to that.
Yeah, and I would also go back and say that, again, we're talking about the entertainment industry. We're talking about the entertainment industry. They read the scripts. They pick. They actually target the audience they want and the reaction they want, and they build shows around it. And so this was something that was apparently long time coming, and they're really just giving the viewing audience what they want. So on one hand, I think that the entertainment industry, while they just, you know, this is kind of what they do, you know, maybe no real core value system per se in terms of, you know, what's godly. I mean, they're really just sort of giving us what we want. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So it really does come down to us individually making a decision, you know, where we're going to stand, whatever it is, because that show is not on TV if they didn't have mass critical critical mass viewing the show on a weekly basis.
Absolutely. So let me ask you guys, and I'll pass this question. I'll first start with you, Carrie. Now, let me start with you, Nikki. How must a godly woman protect the mind from programming and seeing images that are ungodly that will interfere with her from pursuing godliness?
How much should she?
No, like,
is that
how
what your
should
question
she?
Was?
What, no, how should she? What are the ways that she could protect her mind from, you know, programming images? I mean, because, again, the media is everywhere, on billboards, in the grocery store, and buying clothes, and just watching regular TV. You're going to see commercials and things of that nature that are going to really, you know, that are really going to affect you and influence you in some kind of way.
Well, you know, my answer to everything is devotion. Spending that time before you do anything with God. Get up early, you know, before your day starts. And I'm not talking about giving God 5 or 10 minutes, you know, but giving him a significant amount of time and spending time interceding in your word, and then just spending part of your devotional time just listening, because that's where you're going to get your wisdom and your guidance, and that's how you're going to know what to protect your mind from, how to protect your mind. We only know by what God tells us, but if we're not spending time with him, how can the Holy Spirit lead us? Because we won't know his voice. The whole program is to desensitize us and to confuse us, so we won't know which way to walk, so we won't know which voice to listen to. I mean, if you have the Pope saying crazy stuff like he's saying now, and the masses follow him, it's all designed for us not to have a relationship with him, but a relationship with man. That's why so many people fall away,
because they don't have a relationship with God himself. They have a relationship with that man in that pulpit. So my answer to everything will always be devotion, spending time with God, listening, and doing, and it's utterly important before you even start your day, period. I'm talking about, this is my thing. I get up, I wash my face, I brush my teeth, I comb my hair because I am a single woman at the time. God is my husband. So just as I will present myself to my husband, I'm not going to come to him all raggedy. I'm not going to come to the Father all raggedy either. And then I start my day with prayer and devotion and singing praises to him. And then I spend part of my devotional time just listening to see what he's going to say to me. Sometimes he doesn't say anything, but most of the time he does. So that's the main step for a godly woman into knowing how to protect her mind, to even knowing how to do her day-to-day. We need to know from day-to-day, God, what is it that I need to do? Because Satan is constantly coming up with a different maneuver every day, every hour, every minute to pull you off your mark, and you have to understand and know that. That's my comment.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we're coming to the end of the show, and I think we need to do a part two next week about the same topic. Nikki, what do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, I think it'd be amazing.
Perfect.
Carrie, you should come back.
Oh,
absolutely.
Definitely.
So, starting with you, Carrie. Carrie, what are your closing comments, and what are your closing comments as far as women, the difference between a godly woman and a worldly woman, and pretty much, you know, how a woman can really strive to be godly in the world we live in?
Well, I would say that, first of all, I really enjoyed it. Thank you guys for having me on. Love everyone, what everyone's saying. But I think that the practical aspect of the Word of God is incumbent upon us veteran Christians to make sure that we are guiding those who may not know any better. And it's up to us who even are fairly familiar with Scripture and what it means to be godly, particularly in women's case, we're talking about godly women and so forth, is to continue to encourage them. And because, we can't do it alone.
Absolutely. Nikki, your closing comments.
Well, my closing comments are, once again, I think that the show was necessary, and that I hope that we didn't offend, because that was not our goal, but our goal was to enlighten. And the basis of our goal is to talk about, daily topics, but from a Christian standpoint. And because we're talking about a godly woman, I think that it is absolutely necessary. One of the first steps that you need to do, like I said, is to make it your business to spend time with God every day before you start your day, and that'll be a safe start. And so that's my comment.
Absolutely. And pretty much my closing comments is this, is that, there's definitely a distinction between being a woman of God, and we know that success in and of itself, having money, having a nice weave, having a nice body and having, a good-looking man in your arm, does not necessarily mean success from God's perspective. And some of the things we discussed today will definitely truly let you know what God is looking for and what God values in a woman. But what it truly means to be a godly woman. And tune in next week for part two, where we're really going to talk about some other aspects and really go in a lot deeper. And again, as Nikki was saying, we're not here to appear to be judgmental. We all watch shows that probably we shouldn't watch. And, as we progress in our Christian walk, hopefully those things will fall off. But however, at the same time, we do want to highlight the things that are going on in our culture right now, which is really not edifying our people as a whole, and just true family values. So that is my comment. My name is Raz Williams. Can We Talk Radio? Tune in same time next week, and we'll talk to you later. Peace.